Two of our lessons for today are at first glance about folks being healed, and particularly about being healed from leprosy. In our reading from 2 Kings, we are told of a great army commander, though great and successful, still had somehow developed this debilitating and socially alienating disease. In our reading from the Gospel of Luke, Jesus and his followers continue their determined trek to Jerusalem. They're traveling through the area of Samaria and Galilee and encounter 10 lepers on the road. The story of healing of Naaman, the great and important warrior and commander of the army, could easily be condensed to the moral, don't make things harder than they are, just do as you're told. Or, don't think that your rank or standing makes you too important to do the simplest tasks. And those things are certainly words worthy of our consideration. How often do we make the imagined task much more difficult than is really required? How frequently do we mistakenly foresee that what will be required of us is much more than it actually is, much more painstaking and burdensome than is actually the case? The story of the healing of the 10 lepers could also be condensed to a moral akin to those in Aesop's fables. The moral of the story being, be thankful, take time to thank God for all God has done for you. And again, that is a good moral, and those are words we should heed. The lepers were told by Jesus to go and see the priest, a requisite for being proclaimed to have been cured of this dread disease, a certification of sorts, papers to prove that you can move around in society with other folks not stricken with leprosy. When the lepers left Jesus, they were still infirmed, covered in white splotches, wearing their disease literally on their arms and all over their bodies. There is no hiding that one has leprosy. And the lepers were not immediately cured of their disease in the presence of Jesus, but as they followed Jesus' directions and made their way toward the temple to see the priest, they were made clean and they were cured. Only one stopped to turn around and made his way back to find Jesus and thank him. He ran full out, 90 to nothing, back to Jesus. He fell down on the ground and before Jesus' feet in an act of total submission and thanked him. And then we hear what is crucial in this story and also crucial in the story of Naaman. Jesus asks, were not 10 made clean, but the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And most often our minds go immediately to the 9 slackers, the one who so arrogantly and ungratefully went along their way, not bothering to return and thank Jesus. And we feel guilty because we know that we have so much to be thankful for to God, and so often we forget to give God thanks. And yes, we should cultivate an attitude of gratitude. Not only is gratitude good for the soul, it can lower the blood pressure, decrease aches and pains, relieve tight muscles. Yes, we do need to cultivate an attitude of gratitude. But this story, like the one before, is also about expanding boundaries and throwing the doors of inclusion wide open. Once upon a time, there was a highly acclaimed general of the Iraqi army who had obviously pleased the Lord because he had much military success. In his military occupation, he had captured a young American woman and forced her into servitude for his wife. Knowing that the general had AIDS, the young American servant girl said to her mistress, "If only your husband could go to the United States, he would be cured." When word got to the greatest healers in the United States, they worried that having an Iraqi general be cured under their watch might be a problem for their reputation. A person, though, who had no concern for his reputation and knew that healing all was what God wanted, stepped up and offered help. The general came to the United States and was told, "Here are the medicines you need to take. Take these and you will feel better. You will be well. It is really just that simple. Take these meds. You'll be okay." But the Iraqi general expected a much more rigorous procedure for his treatment. He threw the meds in his bag, flew back to his country, and refused to be bothered by this ridiculous Western cure. His attaché said, "Why not just try it? There's no harm in just trying this treatment. Maybe it will actually work." So the general took the pills and no longer suffered from the symptoms of his disease. He said, "Western medicine is good. Allah has given skill to physicians to cure." And the folks who had been at odds with each other now had new eyes to see that perhaps the other was not so bad after all, but a fellow journeyer along the path. Once upon a time, there were 10 guys who had skin cancer, Kaposi sarcoma, all over, really obvious. They were really unpleasant to look at. People were really scared to get near them, even though they knew that the cancer was not contagious. They just looked so bad. Their disease was so horrible. Folks wanted to stay as far away as possible to not be affected. These guys needed to go someplace else. They needed to get help away from us. This group of disfigured and disenfranchised folks see Jesus coming along the road, and they yell out to him. They know better than to approach him. That would make him unclean. So they yell to him, "Hey, Jesus, help us." And he responds, "Go show yourself to the priests." No, in this story, he says, "Go show yourselves to the oncologist." And they go, and they are cured. And the twist in this story is that the only one that came back to thank Jesus, the only one we are told runs back praising God and falling at Jesus' feet, offering him thanks, is a Muslim immigrant. All the Methodists and Baptists and Presbyterians and Episcopalians are on their way to the oncologist, doing what's expected, following the prescribed order and decorum. Have you ever noticed the real heart of what is happening in these ancient stories? Have you noticed that the ones who follow all the rules and regulations, all the prescriptions and preconceived notions, should be left out and kept on the sidelines? These are the very ones that God uses and blesses. Jesus said more than once, and on any number of ways, "The first shall be last, and the last shall be first." If we remember to usher in those on the fringes, those whom others have deemed unworthy, we are doing the work of our Lord. If we keep folks on the outside and believe that we have a corner on the market, a particularly close and personal relationship to Jesus, that our beautiful space and liturgy makes us more appealing to God, then we will find ourselves alone in the world. If we open our arms in love and reach out in love to all people, we will find that we're surrounded by fellow travelers on the path, and we can join together rather than finding fault and placing blame and alienating each other. And perhaps in that, God's vision for a united world will more quickly come to be. Amen.